20. Oops. And let's read those verses 8 through 11. That is where we're at tonight as we're going through our study, Christian Living and the Ten Commandments. Christian Living and the Ten Commandments. God's moral law, but yet it is for all generations. And we looked at something interesting last couple weeks. We looked at the Sabbath, we're looking at the Sabbath. We got to get it together here. We're on the Sabbath. We saw the history behind the Sabbath, where God initiated survival food called what? Manna for Israel while they're in the wilderness. And he commanded them not to gather the manna on the Sabbath. That's kind of the first time we see the institution of the Sabbath. And then in the Mosaic Law, it was expanded to several things on the Sabbath. This is how you are to behave, this is what you don't do, etc. And so that's where it began. Then we looked at Israel's responsibility, which was to receive that manna, also to dedicate it to the Lord. We also saw that Sabbath day, that observance of Sabbath in the New Testament, at least with Jesus, we observe that Jesus said it is no longer necessary to observe it because why? Who was he? He's the Lord of the Sabbath. And then as he established the church and the church began, New Testament church began, it's not mentioned after the Gospels other than in retrospect. But certainly God has every day to be honored to him today. Now he did not command the church to observe the Sabbath. I know sometimes if you talk, especially preachers of bygone days, they'll call Sunday was the Sabbath. That we meet on the Sabbath today. What day is the Sabbath of the week, folks? It's Saturday. It has always been Saturday. It will continue to be. But what God did command his church to do is to gather and worship. We see this under what is called, what the Bible calls now the Lord's Day or the first day. The day was not designated, but they began to gather on the first day because of Jesus' resurrection. In fact, the day he resurrected, he met with the disciples, not all of them, but most of them. They were to gather together for steadfastness, to grow in love, for good works, exhortation, expectation of Christ's return. That's what God wants us to do as we gather in his name. The New Testament church gathered on Sunday. We saw several examples of that. So we're looking at holy things, holy things. That's what the Sabbath now is a responsibility for the Christian to dedicate things that are holy to God. That's what he said. Let's take a look at it, verse 8 through 11. Let's read those together, please. Verse number 8, start there, and verse 11 is where we stop. Let's begin. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So we looked at what God wants us to dedicate to him and keep holy. We saw last week the body. God has now given us the responsibility as a Christian and quite honestly the privilege to honor God with our body. Here's one reason, because Jesus purchased it on the cross. It also is now designed for proper worship, and with that in mind, properly worshiping, obeying, and serving God, because we have who within us to do that? The Holy Spirit. That the Spirit that is holy. That's what we're talking about. And holy meaning dedicated, separated for a specific purpose. And the Bible tells us that is properly how we can do that for the Lord. It is the intelligent thing to do, to dedicate our body to the Lord. Romans 12:1, we saw that. As well. Then we see, again, the Lord's Day. We've talked about that, how that is to be holy unto God as we gather together, a day that is honoring the Lord, distinct and used of God. Now we want to continue on, but before we do, let's go ahead and pray. We'll ask God to help us before we go further. Lord, thank you for your grace and your love. Lord, thank you that we can honor you, dear God, in such a way that we can make things holy as we dedicate them to you. I pray that our attitude, our behavior, our heart would also, Lord, be so dedicated that there's a holiness in the way we think, in the way we live, and our motivations. We pray, God, even tonight, that you would meet that need. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. What's the next thing that is holy? As you can see, letter C there, the tithe, the tithe. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Let's go there. We'll start there. First of all, if we want to talk about what we give to God, we have to remember that everything we have belongs to God already. It's not all ours, and we give a little bit back to him, or we give him what we don't use. It's all his in the first place. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Here's the blank. All our possessions are a gift from God. All our possessions are a gift from God. Let's go to Leviticus. Consider how God uses this and what he demanded from Israel, and does it still apply today? Leviticus, let's go there. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus 27, and let's look at verse number 30 here. And here in Leviticus, this is, of course, Leviticus, the Levitical commands and so forth, and this is part of honoring, worshiping God. Leviticus, verse number 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. The tithe, as many of you probably know or have heard, it is the first tenth of whatever that God demands. Here he's talking about livestock. This is part of their income. It's part of their livelihood. And he said the tenth of the herd is to be given to me. So it's the first tenth of, and is to be holy. Again, holy. Can a cow be holy? Can a cow be holy? It can taste good, but it can't be holy in the sense of morality. But can it be holy in the sense God is describing here? Absolutely. Separated, dedicated, and distinct to him. That is what we're talking about. Then we're looking at Malachi chapter 3. Let's go there. When you're talking of tithes, this is common passage that you go to. Malachi chapter 3. And if somebody gets there before me, read verse 10, please. Okay, thank you. So God promises blessing, that's the blank, as return on the tithe. Have you ever invested in something? You've purchased something and thought, well, this might gain some value. For example, most of us, I think, do. How about your house? How many own your house? And the time that you purchased it, let me ask you this. Has your house increased in value, or has it lost value? Depends on where you live sometimes, but if you're in Michigan this year, it's increased in value and beyond what probably it's worth. But that can change too. The idea here is God, He blesses, He gives value to our obedience to Him. And He says, I will bless you as you give the tithe to me. Malachi 3:10 tells us that He's ready and willing to give blessings out. Now, are those blessings equal money back? Like if I throw in a dollar, I'll get 10 back, you know, because that's the way God works. Well, that hasn't worked for me yet. Has it worked for you? But I'll say this, that as tithing and giving back to the Lord became a part of our life, we did not have things that we were not in need in the sense of where's the next thing going to come. And if it did, we always trust God. We trust God. How many know what I'm talking about? When you give, it doesn't work on paper. The economists always say, write down what you spend, write down what you earn. And if one's larger than the other, you're in trouble. And if the other's larger, then it's you're doing okay. Well, if you write tithing in there or giving to God, that throws everything out the window because it doesn't work out. But God does provide in our needs, and we have seen that. Tithing is to be partnered with obedience, right judgment, mercy, and let's find out, Matthew 23. Let's go there. 23:23, somebody finds it, read it out for us. Go ahead, Bob.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone.
Okay, so Jesus is, he commends, but then he says, but you forgot the more important things than the tithe or the giving. And that includes obedience, right judgment, mercy, and what's the last one? Faith. Faith. He says mercy, judgment, and faith are all included in that obedience needed for God's pleasure and honoring Him. The New Testament church gave offerings that included the tithe. Let's take a look at these. Let me ask some help on a couple of these. Who would take 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2? All right, Gunner's got that. And then how about Romans 15, verse 25 and 26. Romans 15, 25 and 26. All right, Daryl, thank you very much. The mighty hunter. Only those deer aren't cooperating, are they? They're supposed to run in the bullets. That's what I was told when I first started, but that didn't work out. That doesn't work out that way. The New Testament church, they gave offerings. They gave offerings, and that included the tithe. You know why they would include the tithe in their offerings? Where did the New Testament church begin? In Jerusalem. Who lives in Jerusalem? The Jews do. So this was part of their honoring the Lord, and they realized and saw, hey, God still can use this for His glory. We can make it holy unto Him. Again, dollars and cents, there's no morality to dollars and cents. You know, it's not good money and bad money. It's money. It's gifts. It's whatever that it is. But it's dedicated to God when it's made holy unto Him. That is what we're talking about. So let's see what they did. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. Okay, thank you. So Paul, talking to the church at Corinth, he says, now I know you've been gathering gifts for the saints that are in need in other areas. What day did he say you've been doing that? The first day of the week, every Sunday, they've been doing that. And the goal was to honor the Lord and do it in what proportion? In tenths? In fifths? In halves? 50%? He said, as God has prospered you, as God has prospered you, using that tithe, that tenth, as a starting point in our giving. That's what the indication of the scriptures is. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Let's go there. New Testament church. They gave offerings that included the tithe. Let's look at verse number 14. Verse number 14. I like Philippians chapter, I like all of the Bible. In Philippians chapter 4, there's a message that I heard one time called the Missionary's Letter to a Supporting Church. And I thought that was great to consider that. Here's how Paul describes and the effects of the church in Philippi and their giving specifically to his ministry, but regularly as well. Look at verse 14, please. Follow along. I'll read verses 14 through 19. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, a member of the church of Philippi, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So here the Bible tells us the New Testament church, they were used to giving. They continued to do it. It was regular for them. And here we also see the same thing that we see in the Old Testament, God's blessing as we give. What does he say there in verse 19? God will supply all our need according to his riches in glory. Hey, the Bible says, that doesn't mean we should be irresponsible. He does not want us to be that. But certainly, if we give him what he asks of us, he says, I'm going to take care of you. And he does. Not always with monies, but in other ways. You know, sometimes that old rusty car lasts a little bit longer. How many have noticed that before? Man, this thing should be falling apart, but it's still working, still putting it on the road. And other things like that. The New Testament church, they gave offerings that included the tithe. Some people, you start talking about tithe, and man, they want my money now. No, we don't want your money. God does. God does. Amen? God does. And God can use it as he has for his glory. So what's the next thing to honor the Lord, make it holy? Well, let's talk about this one. Yes, let's do. Psalm 127. Let's go there. Children are to be holy. Are children holy? You say like I say, not my children. yes, of course, they can be in their relationship with God. They can do things that are honoring to the Lord. But again, in the word holiness in the Old Testament and now in the New, using it with this idea of what the Ten Commandments does, we're talking about holiness as dedicated to God, distinguished that it belongs to the Lord. And here the Bible tells us, Psalm 127, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let's read that together, please. Psalm 127, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let's read that together. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are loaned to the government. No. Children are loaned to the education system. No. Children are loaned to the church. No, they're not. Who are they loaned to? Parents. We are responsible, moms and dads, in what God has given through our children. Children are loaned to parents by God. Every Christian parent is called to dedicate, make holy his or her children to the Lord. This even includes broken families. Let's take a look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's go there. This includes families that are not exactly what we would call God's plan, and yet God says, I can still honor your dedication of your children to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, take a look at verse number 14. Well, let me start a little earlier than that. Let me start in verse 12. But to the rest speak I, the Apostle Paul, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away, or have a bill of divorcement. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy, holy, dedicated, dedicated. And I can vouch for this in a personal way. My dad was not a Christian when I was growing up. My mom took us to church, and there I heard the gospel, got saved, and made decisions for Christ. But my mom's desire was to see me and my sister honor the Lord. We weren't perfect, and we're still not.
Right.
We're still not. But we were dedicated to God by her. And God honored that, I believe. God honored that. Things didn't always turn out the way she hoped, but God continues to work in her decision, and God wants to use us. And praise God, if you have a family that is strong today, man, keep it strong. Amen. Don't see that as something to poo-poo even in 2024, because it makes all the difference. But God wants us to dedicate, make holy our children to him. This includes rearing children for God's, let's take a look, Malachi 2, 14 and 15. Who would look up that? Malachi 2, 14 and 15. All right, Gunner. And the rest of us to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to finish this tonight. This includes rearing children for God's, what? Malachi 2, 14 and 15.
Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant, and did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of Israel.
Okay. In the Old Testament, of course, God wanted his people to dedicate their seed or their children to God, that they would be honoring to him for his, here's the blank, purpose and glory, for God's purpose and glory, not ours. Does that mean we have no say in what happens in their education, their training, their background, what maybe God wants them to do? Well, of course not. As parents, we're there to help train them to do what the Lord wants them to do. That's the goal. Look in Ephesians 6 with me, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. The Bible says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Wait a minute. I thought that was mom's job. She's the nurturer. Remember, everybody tells you, moms are the nurturer. Well, guess what, Dad? God requires you to be some nurturing too. And that means some tenderness, some care. Yeah, we're dads. But God says that nurture and admonition of the Lord is a responsibility that we have. Can our wives help us? Can moms help dads. Absolutely. Yeah, in fact, they may do more of the work than they should because dad's not doing his part totally. But God wants us to help rear children for God's purpose and glory. You know, in 100 years, if Jesus waits, in 100 years, I hope Grace Baptist Church would still be here. But none of us are going to be members of it. How many think they're going to live to be 120 some years old? That ain't going to happen. I'm here to tell you. I'm sorry to break the news to you. What does that mean? If it's going to continue, then there's got to be another generation that will rise up and will continue to honor the Lord and grow in our church and any other Bible-believing church, fundamental Baptist church that God wants to use to reach people's hearts. That includes us doing our part. Especially as parents, the children. They need to be holy unto the Lord. What's the last one? Let's take a look. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Somebody gets there, go ahead and read it. I will go to 1 Thessalonians here. But Colossians 3, verse 12. Somebody read that out for us, if you would. Okay, thank you. And the list goes on as we read in verse 13 and so forth. But the very first word mentioned after those that are saved, the elect of God, he says, here's what you need to put on. Here's what you need to add to your behavior and your life, your Christian walk. Holy. Be holy and beloved. Dedicated. Given over to God. Each Christian. So here's the last one, letter E, ourselves. Ourselves. This is not just the body. This is not just the tithe or the children or whatever. Everything about us, ourselves. Each Christian belongs to God and should live a holy, dedicated life. That's the blank life to Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:27. If you're there, you can read it with me. Each Christian belongs to God and should live a holy, dedicated life to Him. If you're there, let's read it out loud together. 1 Thessalonians 5:27. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Wow. Wow. Did you know you were holy tonight? I said, preacher, you don't know what's going on in my life. But God does know, and yet he says he wants you dedicated to him. And that's the best place to be. Let me ask you a question. If you're dedicated, does that mean you're always going to do right before God? You should try, but if you're human, which you still are, you still have the flesh to struggle with, at times you're not going to. That's why we go back to the scriptures and say, but I'm dedicated to God. You look at Satan in the eye and you say, but I belong to the Lord. I don't belong to you anymore. You're not my master. Jesus is my master. And then get back on track with God. All right, let's go and pray. Find a partner or two.